This is Eddie Cohn, and welcome to Enter the Shell.
Right, live from NoHo 2 Studio, it is the Enter the Shell show.
That's right. We are having so much fun. We are live in the studio tonight. We've got Eddie Cohn and his fabulous drummer, Adam Gust, in the studio, along with the live studio audience. And this is just part of... woo! That's right.
Looking...
I think
they're looking more beautiful than last week's studio audience.
Last week's studio audience was sexy. You guys are really super sexy. And we're just excited to have you guys here. It's part of the Enter the Shell music movement where we are uniting the artists with the fans. And we're excited to have you guys here tonight. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Eddie, how's it going?
It's good now.
Yeah, it's
good
a lot
now.
Better.
Ayo.
For those listening, you have to understand, like, Eddie walked in, and then, like, the world just stopped. And then I was
the
like...
The floor, like, split. We were like, Eddie! And we're, like, reaching across trying to grab him. Yeah, and it all came together so beautifully.
It was amazing. He's actually here, and we're talking about your second album, and that's Stay With Me. And you just heard a cut from that. That was Secrets, right?
We did. We heard about three quarters of it. Yes, exactly. Secrets.
Just a little tease.
Yeah, it's the last song off the record. Exactly.
Tell me a secret immediately. No one's listening. It's fine.
Exactly.
Just the world.
Gosh. I'm a germaphobe. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Wash my hands constantly.
I sneeze all over your keyboard.
Do you carry like antibacterial?
I'm not that bad. No. Oh, okay. I'm out right now, so stay away.
Okay.
And by the way, if I can mention, your keyboard says access virus, so you're not doing yourself any favors. If I can just...
If we can go ahead and disinfect the keyboard after the show, that'd be great, too.
Exactly.
So where did the title Stay With Me come from?
That's a good question. You can tell I'm really prepared with these, with the answers here. That's a good question.
That's why I asked.
Make something up.
You know something? Honestly, for me, the record sort of symbolizes going through a lot of stuff, and it's that balance of wanting to know if people are going to actually stay with you as you're going through all that stuff, or if you actually want to be alone as you're going through all that stuff. So, in a way, it's sort of a call for help, but it's also sort of saying to myself, the only way that I feel comfortable and safe is to be alone and actually stay away from me. But it's sort of that balance. That's what the title of the record means.
So is it you struggling to learn how to live, love, and find yourself?
Yeah, basically that's sort of what the record's about. A guy struggling to figure out his role and his place in this world. And
have you figured it out yet? Or
I'm here, so obviously not.
He's here hanging out with us on a Tuesday night when he could be on a date somewhere or something. Really quick, let's talk about how did you meet Bruce Watson? Let's talk about that. And for people that don't know who Bruce is, fill us in.
Yeah.
Bruce co-produced the record with me, and I met him about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. I was working on some demos.
Okay.
And Evan Beagle, the guy that produced my last record with me, was friends with Bruce. And
Bruce is kind of a big deal. I mean, he's worked with what, Elton John?
You know, Bruce likes to kind of keep a low profile.
Okay, but let's blow him up.
Is Bruce here tonight?
He's not. He's not.
If Bruce was here, we wouldn't talk about him. But Bruce is not here. So
sorry, Bruce.
Let's blow Bruce up real quick. He's
By the way, I did not tell any of these people anything about Bruce. So
whatever,
they did the searching on their own.
Bruce, he sent us your whole bio.
We have pictures.
No, Bruce has worked with notable artists like Christina Aguilera, Elton John. Who else? Who am I missing?
Eddie Cohn.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Kai. Yeah. What's the deal?
Hello. And Sarah Bareilles. Bareilles, right?
Yeah.
He's really well known for being a guitar player, but he also is an amazing producer, and he produced my last record with Evan, and this record that just came out, Stay With Me. You know, I had a vision and a direction for the record, using a lot of drum loops, a lot of ambient sounds, and then Bruce heard it about 3 years ago and obviously really dug it, but sort of kicked it in another direction, and then we added live drums, and that's where Adam came in, and so we sort of fused the sounds of loops and live drums.
Yes.
And he's really been a mentor in so many ways. I mean, he's a guitar player, but he's a producer. He plays bass, he plays cello, any instrument you sort of hear, he adds to the record, and he's really, really a blessing. And
that's
so
awesome.
I played a lot of the stuff on the record, but any of the things that sound really intricate and complicating, more than likely he played.
So. And I mean, and we got to give props to the drummer, yeah, Adam. Yeah. I mean,
he's speaking through drum today.
Let me just paint you a little picture. This guy has better hair than me, and he's totally like sexifies this music. You're doing a very nice job. So,
wow. Just to let the listeners know, Kai had like 5 jackets on earlier. She only has a tank top on now. So
we're playing strip poker without the cards.
No bra, by the way. No bra.
Niner.
It is cold in here.
Is that what those were? Wow.
Is that what those are?
Adam, are you single? Just throwing that up.
I'm recently married.
He totally has a ring on. I already checked it out.
You already did a brass
check. Yeah, damn it.
Love it. Eddie, let's talk about where you were at mentally.
Let's make this show about Kai.
Let's do. No, no. Last show was about her.
Every show's about me. What
damn
are you talking
you,
about?
Kai. Let's talk about where you are at mentally in between albums, in between this album and your first album.
It's really been an interesting change, actually. The last record, after I finished it, it was sort of, I need to take about 10 years off from music altogether. I took 2 years off, but it just, I felt exhausted and really didn't want to do anything musical for quite some time. This record, there's just a totally different energy, and we're actually going back in the studio in about a week or two to record some more songs for hopefully an EP that I want to put out by the summer. We're going to do a live record also. The record is a full band sound, but when Adam and I play, it's obviously it's just the two of us. And while we do have a pretty big sound for just two people, it's not really what's on the record. So we also want to record some songs live as well. So it's been really cool to be energized to want to keep recording.
Is that frustrating though, that sound can only, I guess, come live?
What part is frustrating?
That you can't bottle that into like an album.
Well, you know, maybe we will. It's too early to say. I mean, the White Stripes did it, and it's killer. So, There's something about a two-piece band that I've always thought was really cool, and like the Black Keys also. So who knows? Maybe when we go into the studio in a couple of weeks to start recording these songs live, maybe we'll think, hey,
dun,
maybe,
dun, dun.
Yeah, maybe we. It's, you know, you got to be open to anything. So right now I'm writing a lot of songs, and I know that I want to record them for an EP, and I also know we want to record about 3 or 4 songs for a live thing, so we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it's very easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle, and of course, when you're working on albums and writing music and performing, you're busy, but surprisingly, sometimes there is downtime, and I'm just curious, what do you do on your downtime? Are you trying to find your life and your love?
Ever check out the back of the LA Weekly? I'm obsessed with all. No, I'm kidding.
I do.
All those women.
I thought I recognized you. Yeah.
Totally,
you look familiar.
Totally turtle with the wig.
Weird with the hat, though.
You walked in on me one day. Let me just say, you brought the coupon. I did not honor that coupon.
Still bummed about that. Completely opposite rock star. I'm pretty obsessed with health and taking care of myself, so I swim a lot and do a lot of yoga, and obsessed with independent films. So
okay, so that's why you didn't do any crack or drink any of the beer we offered you at the door.
Exactly. Well, you took it all. So.
My bad. I have a problem. So well, that's good. So you do yoga?
I do. Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm not about to show you right now.
After the show.
Yeah. Exactly.
We'll have Kai and Eddie together.
The downward dog. Yeah.
I promise Adam will be there with you somewhere.
How about just his hair? Let's just have his hair there.
Exactly.
I totally want to French braid his hair after the show.
His back hair is amazing. So.
Oh, snap.
Well, we're going to open up the floor right now to our studio audience to see if they have any questions.
Questions for Eddie.
Any questions for Eddie. But before we get to that, let's talk about, I know you've traveled the world and you've reflected on your craft and you learn new instruments.
Stop reading, Albert. Reading.
Who's Albert, by the way? FYI, Eddie.
The personal assistant.
Yeah. I'm illiterate. I thought you knew. So you traveled the world.
Yes.
To learn new things, and then now you've incorporated all of that into this album?
Yeah, I think just taking a lot of time off from writing and seeing other parts of the world and meeting different people, it really makes you feel very small in a way, because you just get out of your head, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And we went to Mexico a few times in the last 3 years, and for the first time I bought a couple djembes down there and a lot of percussive instruments. And I've always played drums from a very young age, but never really played it on a record before. So just, when you visit other parts of the world, it's an awakening experience, really.
Did you feel like it was a good move to come back to LA to work on the album?
Oh, absolutely. LA's home. I mean, Paris was fantastic. We were there for a few weeks, and Italy for a month, and it was great. But Los Angeles still strangely always feels like home.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how it works out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're going to open up the mic to our studio audience if someone wants to hop up and ask Eddie their burning question. I know that...
I have a question.
Okay, what's your name?
The question, my name is Oscar.
Oscar, okay.
And glad to be here. Great sound,
thanks
by the way.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, Oscar.
Yeah, thank you. My question is for both of you. Eddie, Adam, what's your biggest influence? If you would have to say one, I'd like to get a perspective where you're coming from. So, your biggest influence.
Adam, go ahead.
Biggest influence, I guess, is being a drummer. I'd have to say there's a guy, Keith Carlock, I went to school with, who, when I saw him play, I wanted to do whatever he did to get that good, pretty much. And
that's
he
cool.
Moved to New York, and within 6 months was touring with Steely Dan and Sting and James Taylor.
I think you sound pretty good, though.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. But I always think of him as far as like what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to achieve, too. I mean, just he's such a brilliant musician. And so he would probably be my biggest influence, his playing, and then also just knowing that he's worked so hard, so many hours to get where he is, so I try to do the same.
Cool.
A role model for me.
Nice. What about you, Eddie?
Musically, probably two stages in my life, really. Just back in the 90s, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, and Soundgarden. Just really, my roommate in college was from Seattle. And I gave it up for Seattle.
That's where I came from.
And at the time, all these bands hadn't hit you know, the television or the radio waves at all. And he comes down with all these demos of Nirvana and Alice in Chains. And I knew I was musical all the time, but never pursued songwriting at all because I just was more of a classical piano player. And so he brings down these CDs of Nirvana and Alice in Chains and Mother Love Bone. And so that was sort of the first inspirational moment in my life that, hey, I can actually get moved to want to write songs. But then it really wasn't until Radiohead and Elliott Smith and Jeff Buckley that they sort of taught me how to write a song. You know, I mean, sort of when you grew up in the 80s, it's sort of about pop, you know, verse, chorus, this refined structure. But then a record like Kid A comes out where it sounds amazing and it's sonically beautiful, but it's not verse, chorus, but for some reason it still moves you and connects you in a big way. So that, as a songwriter, those records really inspire me to write music. So
awesome. Well, thank you, Oscar, for the awesome question there. Speaking of all this music talk, we want to continue to tease our live audience here. And since we've got you guys here, we figure why not just play some more music for us? So we're going to give you another little teaser off of Eddie's album, Stay With Me. This is their song, Feel the Water. That's right here live on the Enter the Shell show.
Wow.
Yeah!
his song off of his most recent album, Stay With Me. That was a song, Feel the Water, and I like that song.
Yeah, you can always catch Eddie Cohn on eddiecohnmusic.com. There you can check out his like MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, all that good fun stuff.
MySpace, dude. That's so like 2004.
Hey, we're but still...
It's the only place you can get your music, though.
Is, yeah. No, it's so weird, though. MySpace is just not what it used to be. It's so strange.
It's so
know?
Died off. Yeah. We're going to have all the links on enterthetheshell.com, too, so make sure you hop on there and check it out. So let's paint a little picture. You guys are dressed casually, looking sexy. Oozing it, looking good, heyo. But you know, it seems like when you go to shows, especially like in LA, a lot of the artists are very casual. Everyone's kind of got their own style in LA. Like anything goes. You know, you can like wear like holy underwear on stage, and everyone's like, "Yeah, he's so awesome." But it seems like you have a very like different style when you perform with your wardrobe. Let's talk about that.
Huh.
Or not.
He's dumbfounded. He's completely dumbfounded.
Like okay. what goes into planning?
What goes into I haven't done laundry for 2 weeks, and this shirt was clean.
Right.
No,
but I mean, for people that haven't seen you perform, someone's going to show up. What are they going to get from you?
Well, Levi's is my sponsor. So no, I'm kidding.
Fantastic.
I sweat actually really easily. So that honestly goes into Kai's getting excited already. I do.
I sweat too.
So seriously, t-shirt, jeans is kind of the deal. You know, try to put on a suit, sport coat, many times, but got warm so easily as soon as I saw you, Kai, that I had to take the jacket off.
Whoa.
So we're left with t-shirt and jeans.
I totally have that effect on people. It's weird.
Yes, t-shirt and jeans is pretty much it. You know.
So I mean, you feel like that is just the casual way of doing things for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever feel like you want to put on like a velvet tux for your audience or anything?
Only if you're there, guys.
I'm going to get you a velvet cut.
We're going to take you up on that. That's smart.
It's going to be
purple. I'm playing Thursday in Long Beach. It's Viento y Agua. So come on down. And if
Viento y Agua, yeah. El Velvet Suto.
That was actually a period where I was like, man, maybe we should do button shirts and vests and slacks. And it got mixed.
It's like, forget about it.
Yeah, Eddie's in.
Well, you can wear. I think you know you can wear the vest if you want.
You can wear a ponytail or a French braid if you want.
Oh, you're
good. That's right. No, but I do think that it's interesting to see how different artists like to take the stage. But of course, it seems like you just want to be comfortable. You just want to do you when you're up there.
Basically, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Let's talk about your writing. What makes you want to just write? I know for everybody they have their process. What's your process like when writing?
God, that's.
I know we ask good questions.
No, you do. Because it makes me. I don't really think about what goes into my process of writing until somebody like you asks me these questions. So it's so random for me. I try to surround myself with things that are inspiring, whether it's a movie, new sounds. There's a McCabe's guitar shop in Santa Monica, and they sell acoustic guitars, but they have these really random instruments from all over the world. And for me, this last record, I was obsessed with Nine Inch Nails and sort of the drum sounds and the loop sounds that he creates. And so what inspired these songs was actually creating a drum loop and then playing the keyboard or the piano around the loops. Because if you sit down and play and sit behind a guitar, it's going to instantly sort of create a particular style of songwriting. But if you force yourself to listen to a drum loop first, then obviously you're not going to play your guitar or your keyboard the way you normally would. So this record really started from drum loops and then sort of built the songs around that. And I normally need to be in a particular mood before I start writing. And normally I'll come up with a killer melody and then follow it up with the lyrics. So
let's talk about this writing process. I mean, I know that you've spent what the last 3 years really trying to hone in and focus on the exact material that you're wanting to create. I mean, how do you find the energy to do that for years? I mean, some artists can just plug stuff out. Some people are really passionate about taking that time, and it seems like you've really put a lot of time into what you're doing right now.
Well, the 3 years also was really a lot of stuff. The last record I didn't engineer. I didn't produce too much. I didn't play a lot of the instruments.
Okay.
So I really spent probably a good year teaching myself how to engineer a record, where to put microphones.
You know? What kind of sparked that? What made you want to do that?
You know, I think it's just that whole process of not wanting to depend on other people. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. I'm never going to play the drums like Adam does. I would need to play the drums, you know, 15, 20 hours a day for the next 15 years, and then maybe I'd be half as good. It's just, mm-hmm. as you get older, you also realize your limitations and you have to be comfortable with those. But I think also, I'm always striving to try to learn something new musically and artistically, and it frustrated me that as great as Bruce is as a guitar player and a musician, I played music for most mm-hmm. of my life. I wanted to at least get to a point where I could at least create some of those sounds by myself.
So does that change things for you now that you're learning kind of all sides of it? Are you feeling more in tune even with this music?
Absolutely. I think that's part of the reason why after this record I'm able to want to go back in the studio so quickly again and start recording, because I know exactly what I need to do to make the songs sound good. I mean, this record I'm so proud of, and I feel like it's really who I am. And so I think, as an artist, you're striving and you know, look at Beck. Beck puts out record, and they all sound so different. In a way, it's sort of that process of him trying to come to terms with who he is as an artist. And I feel like for the first time, I know how I should sound. And so I don't need 2 years to take off to learn new instruments or new tools. I know what's going to work for me. Mm-hmm. And so I want to go back in the studio tomorrow or
great. So
week.
That time that you've taken has totally worked for you, and now you're just... It ready has. To go. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Good.
We're going to open up again the mic to the audience, so somebody feel free. You can ask Eddie anything. For example, Eddie, I you and me, we're
connected.
We are connected. and let me tell you why. We both have, how should I put this? We both have a fear of mortality.
Here we go.
I know you go and you see elderly people and you look at them, you're like, you're about to die soon.
He does a lot of yoga.
Yeah, tons of yoga.
Did you walk out of the therapy set? That was you that other night, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm your therapist disguised as a turtle. So
how he rolls.
But let's talk about that, about your fear of death. Everybody has I don't know if everybody has a fear of death, but I know I do. I fucking
like where you come
is
since you were like
day.
A little boy or what?
This, well, you know,
since you were a little turtle.
Well, if I can open up, I mean,
let's
open up.
Is there a couch?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had a twin brother. And so he died at the age of 5. So I was actually there, and I actually saw him die in front of my eyes. That really impacted me on such this crazy level where mm-hmm. I grew up like that. I remember being at the cemetery, and as we were burying him, all these kids, they were running around, you know, just having fun. You know, we were in kindergarten. And, you know, kids they don't understand kind of what's going on. Mm-hmm. But my mom was like, hey, you know, why don't you go have fun, go do something. I'm like, why am I going to do that? My twin brother that was with me just died, you know. And so I really grew up really fast. And I think that led me to just fear death. Every night that I go to sleep and I see black, I fucking shit myself. And I'm afraid I'm not going to wake up. There, I said it.
Whew.
Wow. That was all deep, right?
Dang.
You know, I've got all some right. Xanax in my pocket.
No, get no him Xanax. Some of that after the show, please.
I only do weed. That helps. But let's talk. Do you have the same craziness as I do, or what?
You know, since I'll be serious for a few moments, since you obviously, you know, thanks for sharing a personal story.
Yeah, thank you.
Seriously.
That's what End of the Shell is all about.
Yeah.
A little bit of this, a little
think
bit of that.
You've obviously done your research, and I think when something bad happens to you as a kid, whether it's death or divorce or health issues, it leaves a scar for sure. And whether, you know, if when you're in those years, 5, 6, 10, 12, it's different if obviously death and health issues are terrible at no matter what age. But I think when it happens to you as a kid, it stays with you and lingers with you for a long time. And so, yeah, I had a lot of health issues as a kid, and knock on wood.
There's no wood here.
Yeah.
Run.
Exactly. No, but bang on your drum there, Adam. You're the side there. There you go. There we go. There's some wood. Yeah, I think, Yeah, I was in and out of hospitals for a long time in my life, and I think the fear of dying is something that I think about all. I'm not very religious. I'm spiritual, but certainly not a very religious person. And so...
Does that reflect in your writing?
Yeah, absolutely. And people, one of my friends jokingly will say, well, when are you going to write that happy pop song? It's really not really why I write. I mean, sure, I think if I was forced to and you know, Christina Aguilera came knocking on my door and said, hey, let's write a pop song together. Sure.
Like, okay.
Okay, yeah, we'll make it work somehow. But you know, we all have reasons of why we paint or write or take photographs. I mean, it's for me, it normally comes from a reflective place where I'm thinking about my mortality or you know, questioning my life or...
Trying to write the feel-bad song of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel like your music helps you with your fear?
Yeah, because it allows me to forget about it. So, okay. Yeah, definitely.
Kind of takes your mind off of it. All right. Well, we're gonna open this audience mic back up to see if somebody has another burning question for Eddie. It can be serious. It can be fun. It can be whatever you want it to be. And hey-o, what's your name?
My name's Jose.
Jose, what's your question?
I loved your music.
Yes,
and
Jose.
I heard some European influences, some Massive Attack, some Portishead.
Did I see you at the Massive Attack show 2 weeks ago?
Probably. Well, I waited a couple months ago, though. But
okay, they were
I
just
heard
here
it.
Like 2 weeks ago. It was amazing.
Did but, you so, hear the CD or just now you heard it?
Well, no, I've been a fan for years.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, I saw him at the Wiltern, but it was a few months ago. So.
Cool.
But I hear influences, and I thought it was great. It was lovely. So I was just wondering if that's where you draw from.
Well, it's weird. People will, you know, see my name, Eddie Cohn, and think just, you know, James Taylor strumming a guitar and singer-songwriter. But Portishead is all. I love the record. And some of our live shows, actually, we played at pre-recorded tracks, which include loops and drum loops and things like that. And,
right.
And so, yeah, I love Portishead in the way
sweet
that... So, absolutely.
Because you mentioned the grunge, and I'm like...
Yeah,
well,
the grunge probably, again, inspired me to just the whole world of writing songs. But Portishead, the record Dummy, the Massive Attack show that I went to just 2 weeks ago was sonically one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
Plus the light show.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
We have that going on here, but the radio audience doesn't know.
Yeah, we have a laser light show between Eddie and his drummer now.
When Adam and I play together, it you know, larger venues and big speakers, absolutely. We love incorporating more of the drum loops and a lot of the more, you know, bigger sounds and things like that.
No, I love it. I love rock, too, but yeah, I draw a lot from, you know, especially with my band, you know, just European keyboard.
There's a band right now. Yeah, there's a band called Autolux right now.
Uh-huh.
Do you know Autolux?
Never heard of them, no.
Check them out. They opened up for Tom York in Santa Barbara a few months ago. I don't know why I'm plugging Autolux. I'll probably never meet them again in my entire life. But
you might. You never know. But they're coming on next on the End of the Shell show.
They're going to be opening for you.
No, but they played. You'll probably start hearing about them soon.
Totally.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Another question real quick about the duo. If a ripping bass player would show up, would you turn him down? Just as a question.
Uh-oh, they're going to fight about this later.
No, it's not even about fighting about it.
I think the duo is great. I'm just asking how much you stick with it, you know, because everybody thought about that at some point, you know, everybody that has a band.
Sure.
You know,
I think we constantly think about, well, I don't know if we constantly think about it, but I think as an artist, you're always looking for ways to improve, whether it's writing a song or, you know, improving your voice or improving your chops as a drummer or a keyboard player. And I think it's something that I've certainly thought. I don't know if bass is the answer. Sometimes I think a guitar player, maybe a cello player. I just don't know.
Cool.
But,
yeah.
You guys are open to it, though.
Absolutely, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
As long as we don't have to teach him how to play.
And I think it was also a means to an end. There was this tour that came up that had a festival involved with it, and we really wanted to do it. And flying out there with the expense of a third person just wasn't realistic. And so, you know, I was like,
hello.
You know, let's try to do this as a duo. And so we put a lot of time into trying to do that, and it worked out, and now we're enjoying it more. And I think when we do add the third person, it'll be that much better because we have explored this dynamic.
Nice.
Exactly. Totally. No, that sounds great as a duo. So
yeah.
Thanks.
All right,
and mathematically, it's just easy. It's like,
well, you know,
dos amigos.
Seven-piece band, and like comparing that to two people.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, forget the financial thing. I mean, obviously, it's one other person to, you know, to pay for and all that sort of stuff. It just creatively, I mean, Adam and I really spent a lot of time in the studio just trying to figure out, okay, we've got this big band sound. How are we going to figure this out live? And I think with a third or fourth person, it just would have taken more time and more talking. And so at least we've sort of figured out what we need to do, and it's going to be a lot easier to add somebody if we do that. So,
well, let's get back into you guys.
Music
again.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now we are going to hear Lights On, and that's courtesy of your friends here at the Enter the Shell Show. Cohen.
Nice.
Lights on.
Keep those lights on.
Exactly. Eddie, I know you're a very private person.
How do you know?
Because you know what? Because
I'm just curious.
Obviously not private enough because yeah. you found out everything about me.
Exactly.
I know you're private, so let's talk about everything.
The one thing that I always get, though, is everybody says, God damn, like, you do your research. And I do, man.
He really does.
It's called stalker.
Exactly.
Yes.
But in a good way, because I get to get things out of you.
He only has like three restraining orders?
Four. I just got a new one yesterday.
I thought you were going to say he only has three friends.
That too.
And now two. Now I have two. I just lost one. Thanks, Ed. You bastard. As your record comes out, though, or it's out now.
It is.
How do you get rid of that fear of being a private person? Now you have to go out and you have to talk with people. And
it's
you
tough.
Have to...
It's an adjustment for sure. Because you spend a lot of time on a project and you don't just want it to play in your bedroom or play in your living room. You want people to hear it. So it's an independent artist, unless you're opening for Beck or Radiohead or some band, you've got to get out there and get people to hear it, which is why we're here and which is why we did the tour and which is why we have shows coming up. And it's a lot easier to do when you believe in the project, which is great. I mean, I can't imagine going out there and playing shows and talking about your record or your movie or whatever you've worked on if you're not proud of it. So it helps that I'm really excited about the album, and when people hear it, they're really excited about it, and they tell people to go out and get it. So it's definitely an adjustment getting out there and meeting new people. And
does it frighten you or something? Or
yeah, the thing is, I'm a very social person, and I'm really normally pretty easy to talk to, and a lot of fun to be out and about. But I would prefer to just be home and just write or read or watch a movie or just go to the movies or something like that.
Kind of that sense of being guarded. Well, it's interesting because a lot of your music, you're talking about feeling alone, feeling lost, questioning love, questioning life. So, I mean, I guess essentially you're kind of putting it out there with your music and whatnot. And where do those thoughts kind of, you know, brew from?
Which the thoughts of
with your music, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you're dealing with all this, you know, these ideas of being lost and feeling alone, and then of course you know you're having to kind of step outside the box and share that, and that's kind of what's driving you.
Well, I think as a kid, when I was 12, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay,
it's an autoimmune disease, mm-hmm. like lupus and Lyme disease and that kind of stuff. It's not contagious, so don't worry. I'm in total remission.
Don't worry, I had my fingers crossed.
Exactly. Oh, good, because I'm totally going to make out with you after the show.
A lot of people don't really know what it is, and it can be really serious. And I think it's embarrassing sometimes to even talk about your shortcomings, whether it's, you know, your height or your weight or your health. Or
why are you looking at me during this?
He's like, height.
Height. No, you bastard.
I think it's a lot easier sometimes to just be alone. And I think I'm also, most of my family I'm from Ohio, from the East Coast. And most of my family I don't have family out here. I've got great friends.
Okay.
But there's always sort of the sense of
feeling alone.
And do people get me, or do they connect with me, or do they connect with my music? And I think it's sort of as an artist, at least for me, it creates insecurity when you put your music out there, especially when it's not the standard verse chorus.
But isn't it kind of this bittersweet, beautiful thing that some of these shortcomings or some of these things that are your own personal battles are actually what is inspiring you to make such beautiful music?
Yeah,
you know?
I think it would probably be annoying if people met me and I had this big ego about myself. I think that'd be really aggravating.
Such a big deal. I'm so great.
Yeah,
I'm
so cool. I want to sing these songs. I mean, how annoying would that be?
Do you feel like with your performances and when you meet your fans and stuff like that, that people are like, oh, I connect with you, or like, I get that. Like, do you feel like people are connecting with you with these feelings of being lost or searching for certain things?
Yeah, for the first time I am. It's mm-hmm. really, it's cool. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can dig it.
Where did you grow up?
Just outside.
He said Ohio. Did you listen?
I wasn't listening to anything he said. So it's
okay. No one ever listens to me. You're the one with the tits, guy.
I thought this was a family show.
Ayo. Jeez.
I only said that because my mom listens.
I totally stuffed my bra, so. Yeah.
Speaking about your mom.
Speaking of your mom, tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
Ohio, Cleveland.
Cleveland,
just outside
Ohio.
Cleveland, yeah.
But yet you live here now, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. When did that transition happen?
How long have you been in L.A.?
About 16 years. Just came out for school, and it just felt like home. And I don't know how much time we have. Really quick story. I was really sick as a kid. My parents decided for us to go on a vacation, and so we went to Florida, and had lost like 30 pounds, 40 pounds on a ton of medication. Go down to Florida, it's 80 degrees. My illness completely went away. And so for that week that we were down there, we went back to Cleveland. I was back to being sick all over again. So obviously the cold weather played a vital role in me deciding where to go to school. So I applied to, you know, schools in Louisiana, Florida, Arizona, California, yada, yada. And so that really, it was about health and getting out of Ohio. It was probably all mental. I probably just was totally fine all along, but just wanted to get the hell out
Ohio
of there.
Ohio will do that to people.
So exactly, Ohio. But yeah, so that was really sort of the guiding force. And then just here, this feels like home, and I've been in perfect health since, and it just feels great.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, you live in the most smog-infested place on
Earth. I'm in the perfect health, but I'm in like the dirtiest city in the world.
Exactly. We've got a respirator on my back.
That's so fantastic. You can't even see it.
It's a pocket respirator.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk about some dates and where you're going to be.
Where do you want to go? Where are we going?
Everywhere. So Turtle's gay. Thank you for coming out on the show. Woo!
Let me see your penis. I was talking to Adam.
Oh my gosh. Here we go.
Put your pants up. No, it's
good. Guys, like, back off.
You want me to his mind? Yeah. So we're
totally straight, ladies.
Why are the ladies leaving? Come
Why
back.
Why
are
they all looked all just, awful? Like, oh,
just the fact that you said that means you're so gay.
He really is. He has a lot of man crushes on all of our guests. It's kind of starting to actually.
The human penis is beautiful.
Yeah. So about your tour dates.
Well, we play in West Hollywood tomorrow night.
I'll be there.
He's like, I live right around the corner. Oh my god.
This is that yogurt / stripper place.
It's not yogurt, baby.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
We just changed direction.
This is totally not a family friendly show anymore. That's fantastic. Our producers are like, cut.
Sorry, Mom.
So you said you're going to be in Long Beach on what?
This Thursday, the 18th. And we're in San Francisco the weekend of December 10th. We're playing San Francisco the 10th, Mountain View the 11th. And back in San Francisco at Borders Bookstore on the 12th.
Nice.
And some other dates coming around the corner. Viper Room possibly in February. There's a place in Santa Monica in February. We're trying to hook up Arizona. It's going to be ongoing. So
you guys are just hoeing yourselves out.
Yeah, we did a two-week tour back in the Midwest, which was great. And so we're trying to figure out a West Coast thing.
Nice. Okay, well, keep us posted. And, of course, we'll have all of their information on entertheshell.com, all the links to where you can follow these sexy men and see where they're going to be so you can hopefully catch them live, you know?
Yeah, coming up next, we got Kai Celebrity Corner.
Hey-o. And really quick, I mean, did we want to open up the microphone?
No. Does anybody want to...
Does anybody want to talk to Eddie? Because we
anybody,
don't really want to
Eddie.
Talk to him.
I'm like, why? Why are we going to do that? We've been having such bad luck.
Bad luck. The last question was great.
Actually, I think we should open up the microphone. Does anybody have a question for Eddie?
See, now we have the. Okay, thank you.
See?
Good.
Heyo. What's your name?
Chip.
Chip, what's your question?
I was wondering, Eddie, if you might be able to tell us a little bit about any vision you kind of have for what's to come. You were talking about maybe. Working on an EP coming up. Do you plan any departure from what you've been currently working at, or are you kind of hoping to refine what you've got going on and take it? What direction are you seeing for yourself?
Yeah, I'm pretty open. I think I'm feeling pretty confident about the sound that we made. So obviously I'll probably lean towards recreating that. But once you get in the studio and you start hearing stuff back, you just never know. A guy named Carmen Rizzo, he's an electronica producer, remixer guy. He remixed a song off the record called Lights On. And I never really thought of my music sort of being in the electronica world, but he, being the amazing genius remixer guy he is, he just sort of opened up my ears to this world of, hey, maybe this music could work as electronica also. So I'm not sure. I don't know if the record will be rock electronica or more electronica, but you know, we'll find out as we're in there and we're hearing the music back. The speakers never lie.
That is true. So.
Only friends.
Exactly. Awesome. Only your two.
Yeah. All right, one Chip. Now.
Chip, thank you cool. so much for your question.
Yeah, can't wait to hear it. Thanks.
All right, so we're going to continue on this beautiful love song fest, gay fest in this studio here.
Gay as in happy. Gay as in happy.
Happy gay. We've got some more music for you right now. It's off the Stay With Me album, and it is the song Stay With Me, and it's right here on the Enter the Shell show.
Thank you.
Damn.
Turtle actually said during the show, I wonder if Eddie would stay with me tonight.
No, shut your mouth. Completely straight. You looked like you were just into that song. Like, you just loved that song.
It's weird. After playing them for a few months now, that song just... I mean, they're all great to play. That song, for whatever reason, just has been moving for me. So, yeah.
We're about to move things along, and we're about to get into Kai's Celebrity Corner.
That's right. We are going to take a look at what's happening in Hollywood this week. Do you guys follow any of the Hollywood gossip? Show of hands in the audience. You guys into
everybody.
Like,
I see like
don't,
10.
You know, she's shaking her head, but you know that when you're in the grocery store and you see the tabloids, you're like, should I buy this? No, I'm just going to read the whole thing really quick before I'm done checking
Hopefully
out.
There's something on there about Lauren.
Well, if there's not, we can have you.
Yeah, you could tell us. You could tell us.
Because clearly gossip. There's something about Lauren that we don't know.
Are we talking about LC, Lauren Conrad? I hope.
It's sad that you know her last name.
I call her LC. I don't know what you call her.
LC. That's my homegirl. What's going on with Lauren? Let's just talk about that really quick.
Just, you know, fill me in.
I don't know.
Have you dated her? Tell us. Yeah, right?
Hello, Lauren.
No, I can actually one-up you. We're going to talk about Sarah Palin and some of her kids.
I was wondering when we were going to get to Sarah Palin.
How many Sarah Palins in the crowd? Just show of hands.
We got
crickets,
three.
Crickets. Okay.
The entire crowd just raised their hand. They said they
Oh,
Sarah
everybody's
Palin.
Leaving. Oh, son of a gun.
Come back.
So I know that Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol, you know, she's on Dancing with the Stars, and so she's getting a bunch of attention, but she also has a 16-year-old daughter. Her name is Willow. I don't know if you guys know about this.
Not the movie.
Okay, well, now
great
you know.
Movie, by the way. Val Kilmer. Amazing.
Let's stay great. Hey, let's stay focused here. Let's stay focused. So Willow Palin, she's 16 years old. She's on Facebook. Okay, so Sarah Palin, I'm not going to lie. She's got this new reality show, and it looks like it's just going to be a hot mess. So I'm going to watch
a bit of it. I saw a bit of it.
I'm going to watch some. I'm going to probably get drunk and watch this show. So I'm going to TiVo that. In the meantime, there's a lot of stuff going on Facebook with people just totally bashing this new reality show. So Willow thought it would be cool to get on Facebook and call people faggots and, you know, all these
not cool names.
Not cool homo slurs.
Yeah, man.
So
What did they ever do? But
I mean,
besides provide fashion.
There's a lot of, I mean, listen.
I'm just saying.
Because now that you've just.
And make Glee, like, okay, number one. What,
but
what
now that
do?
You just came out of the closet, don't take offense to this.
Is that your gay Willow impression?
No, but I'm wondering, is it okay because she's 16? Do we let her just be 16? Do we let her use homo slurs? I mean, how do you feel about Willow using these homo slurs?
As a homo, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not.
Tell us how that makes you feel.
That makes me feel inadequate because I have a small penis. And
wow, that's a whole other show.
I know. Everybody's face just completely
just wrong.
Everybody just laughed.
I know.
Including Adam, my drummer. So, come on.
So there's no more music tonight. Damn it.
I don't know. You know, like when you're 16, you kind of know about the world and you kind of are kind of understanding, not to the full extent, like when you're 23.
I mean, I don't think faggot's ever cool to you.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. I used to be pro, like, not into, like, gay people. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, a bunch of gay people just came into my life and I started getting paid a lot more money.
To get on your knees or what?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Check out this bling.
Hey. Yeah. His Rolls Royce out there. Yeah, his gay boyfriend bought it for him.
Done.
So. All right. So anyways, Willow Palin, best of luck with all of her homo slurs on Facebook. Okay. So Pink, the artist Pink, she's been back and forth with her husband.
Yeah,
I mean, Carrie Hart. I mean, they were like separated. They're back together. Blah, 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 whatever.
Carrie Hart, sunglasses at night.
No. This Carrie is the guy Carrie that Hart. Rides the bikes and drinks Monster and all that stuff.
Right. You're gonna have to Google him.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give him a plug.
Yeah, about that.
But
no,
they have been off and on.
They have been off and on. I mean, she wrote all these hate songs about him, but they were like best friends during that whole break.
I know, that was a great album.
Kind of weird. It was a great album. Maybe it was a total ploy. Nonetheless, she's 31 years old. Pink is pregnant, and she just announced it on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Yeah.
Ayo.
Yeah, yet another girl I will not bed, unfortunately.
Oh, are you attracted to Pink?
Yes, I am. She has a great body.
I love what she does with like all the acrobatic stuff she does.
I would love to see what she does and incorporates that with her vagina.
Anyways.
Just saying. I don't know about Eddie.
Hey, from penises to vagina, we can't even like hang with you right now. Like I'm so I'm confused about my life right now. Are you? Maybe you should write a song about it.
Actually, I find myself more clear than ever.
It's like I am so glad I'm not Chertle.
Well, would you like to weigh in on this pink mess?
I don't find it to be a mess.
Do you find her attractive?
Not really, no.
Okay.
But are you happy that she's
pregnant? There's guys that are pissed now that you don't find...
No, you know, I find her to be... Again, I'm not going to be plugging Pink now, so... I love Pink. I think she's really talented. I just think she's a little buff in my taste.
What celebrity do you find attractive?
Someone he can do yoga with.
Blake Lively, I find to be very attractive.
Oh, I could see you with a Blaker.
Yeah.
Is that a guy?
Exactly.
Yes.
He's actually a point
guard. Turtle's like, yes, I stand a chance.
I knew it.
He's a point guard for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Sasha Vujacic.
Yeah, well, speaking of basketball players, let's talk about Tony Parker and Eva Longoria. Rumors circulating that they might be getting divorced.
Tony Parker. Why does that name ring a bell?
Well,
who's
he
Tony
was
really Parker?
Excited about Tony Parker.
Okay, Tony Parker is married to Eva Longoria.
Oh my God, he's a Laker guy, right?
No, Spurs.
I don't follow basketball, the by the way.
Yeah, apparently. Really,
I'm a as you can clearly see, I'm a Dodger fan. I'm a baseball fan.
He's also 5'3", so
yeah.
He's like me.
No, you're 5'3".
I can't Eva Longoria.
No, so. Do you know who Eva Longoria is?
She's
of course
on
you know. You're
the
Mexican.
Kardashians, right?
Anyways, yeah.
Am I close?
Not even. So I guess there's some Texas clerks that work at the Texas courthouse that actually confirmed that there was some type of divorce filing. But of course, you know, Eva's strong-arming all of this, saying that you know, she's denying all these rumors and. They have this perfect happy marriage.
Real quick, if I could just interject, there's this guy, Rick Fox. He's on the Lakers, or he was on the Lakers.
He's on Dancing with the Stars right now.
Dude, Elijah Dushku, by the way, fucking ridiculously hot. Okay, I don't know if any of you guys are big. Like, when she was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and she was, like, all in fucking leather? Yes!
Okay, wait a sec, where are you going? Where are you going with this?
Why aren't all Laker, or anybody that's dating a basketball person, why aren't they all in leather? That's what I want.
All in leather.
Yes.
Basketball players?
Yeah, yeah. I need hot girls.
So now suddenly you care about basketball.
Well, yeah! And girls in leather,
so if Anthony Parker's wearing leather, you're all into it.
Done. Done. But ask me in the right place.
You know what? I'm going to get you a leather suit there, mister.
I won't wear it.
I don't know if they make them
leather's
that small.
No. And I'm chubby, so leather on chubby people, just not cool.
We now know why you're on radio and not TV.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got a face for radio.
Exactly. And a voice for print.
Keep the leather in your closet. All right. So that's a look at what's going on in Hollywood this week. Of course, if you head on over to the enterthesheell.com Entrance Shell website. We've got a lot of award-winning blogs, all kinds of things going on. You guys need to check it out. Milo, our award-winning blogger, he is going to be writing about the Artist of the Week, and I'm going to give you a couple clues, and of course you can head on over to the website on Friday and find out just exactly who he's talking about. This week's Artist of the Week just released his 8th studio album. He grew up in Detroit, and he had some parents that owned an orchard. He picked some apples. He's a strong supporter of the Republican Party, and he was signed by D-Nice and Jive D-Nice to Jive Records. Does anyone know who this guy is?
I think I do.
He's had several run-ins with the police. He's dated some famous women.
Everybody has such the blank look.
Everyone's like, don't care. Anyways, if you want to find out who this rock and roll bad boy is, check out the blog section this Friday to find out who this American badass Artist of the Week is.
Any lights? None whatsoever.
Crickets.
Crickets. And while you're there, you know what, Sarah? She's going to be reviewing the album The Lady Killer by CeeLo Green. I don't know if you guys have heard that song, Fuck You. It's amazing. Or is it just
Sounds really good.
Dude, do yourself a favor. Listen to that song.
Actually,
it's amazing.
I have that. It's actually really funny.
What? Tell me. Tell
I
me
like
a story.
That song.
Oh, okay.
The Fuck You song.
All right. And while you're there, and she's going to be doing a covers review. She's going to be doing Smile by Charlie Chaplin. And this song is actually covered by her favorite artist. And this is a peek into the end of the year. And I believe that this artist for her will be the number one artist of the year. That's Janelle Monáe. I don't know if there are any big Janelle Monáe fans out there, but check out that cover. And since you're already there, Richard, our other amazing blogger, he's actually, this is the thing about Richard. He reviews albums like 4 months later, 2 months later, maybe even a month later. After everyone's said their piece, then he comes in and just like adjusts everyone's ego. He's going to be reviewing Linkin Park's new album. I know it came out a while ago, but if you want a fresh perspective, go ahead and check that out.
And a couple other things. We've got shout outs to all of our fans that hit us up on entertheshell.com, Facebook, whatever it is. But first off, I just want to give a little shout out to my buddy Curtis. I'm just going to point him out. He's right here in the audience.
Because everybody can see. Everybody can see.
Let's give Curtis a round of applause. Curtis, long story short, I haven't seen this guy in like 4 years. And he used to be my old photographer when I was a news reporter back in Washington State, and he was the director too, so I just want to give him a little bit of love. Also, shout outs to Valerie Carbajal, Don Staley, Adam Bailey, Meredith Emholtz, Brian Bosco, and Alex Shivers. Thanks so much for following us.
Yeah, and I got some shout outs too. How about Hugh and Sophie Bingnell? And then we got Luke Yinian. Of course, I'm getting all the crazy names.
Yes.
Iris Medina, and then Cynthia, and of course, Oscar and Jose, and
That's here tonight. Yeah, everybody, Chip.
And Scholar Records, because
Scholar Records.
Steve from Scholar Records, that guy, major stud. He actually helped me out a lot.
All this
podcast.
Sexiness in your ear right now. Yeah, this is from Steve.
It's all courtesy of Steve, and we'll put his link if you feel like recording a new album. Maybe, Eddie, you might want to record an EP at Scholar Records.
It's right across the street, and we're just throwing it out there.
Sing.
So last week we had Greg Holden on the show, and we gave away some, he actually autographed and signed some CDs, and we gave them out to some of our fans, so I wanted to announce the people that won those. Sophie Bignell, she's from Oxfordshire, England, and Luke, how did you say his last name?
Guinean? I'm probably
you say it much better than I would. And he's from Marquette, Michigan. And then, of course, Eddie is signing some CDs and leaving them with us in the studio tonight. So we're going to be giving those away on enterthesell.com. So make sure you tell your friends. Head on over to Enter the Shell, and you'll find out how to enter for the drawing for these lovely CDs.
Signed, by the way. Signed.
Big time.
Yeah. You can't get them anywhere unless you're at his concert. So... there.
That's just what happens.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we are going to do the moral of the show. It's that time. We see, you guys here, you can't see, but in the back we have our Demoralizer 3000, and that's going to tell us...
It's a huge machine. We would show you it, but again, it will probably, with the radiation from it, at least one of you would walk out with cancer.
Yeah.
So it's actually behind this wall. It's a big machine. It's totally tapped into the soundboard. So what happens is it kind of generates a moral for you guys to, you know, leave the studio and feel like you have a little clarity. Maybe Eddie can write about this in his next song.
Exactly. So here we go. Let's find out the moral, and let's figure it out right here. Stay with me. Purple Velvet, Sweating, Acoustic, Duo, Live Audience, Drum Loops, Chip, Jose, Oscar, and Gay. We're not throwing a love affair. That means it's done. Now, Eddie, if you can rip open that envelope and tell us the moral of today's show.
I should have worn my glasses. Ate lunch, still drunk. Keep forgetting I'm in Texas, but then I look around at the people and remember.
There it is.
You're totally not in LA. You're in Texas.
Yeah, that is the moral of today's show.
That's insulting to everyone here.
Ayo.
Is someone here from Texas?
Hey, so big special thanks to NoHo 2 Studios, and of course,
Eddie Cohen.
Got my name already.
Eddie Cohen. NoHo2.com, by
Eddie,
the way.
And Adam, the drummer. Hello.
I guess.
Adam's actually on his way out. He's actually filming a Pantene commercial later this evening. So best of luck with that.
I remember the 18th of November, You can catch Eddie Cohn in Long Beach, and then he's going to be chilling in Long Beach too. The 10th, and then the 11th, he's going to be out in Mountain View, right, or something like that.
He totally just butchered that. Yeah, so basically, just go to entertheshell.com. We're going to have everything right. Turtle's drunk. Don't worry about it. He's drunk and gay. It happens.
At least every Tuesday night, one of you will walk away lucky.
So
guy, girl,
so
maybe
random.
Both. I don't know. We'll see.
Speaking of walking away lucky, we are going to leave all you lucky listeners and this live audience with a live, last live song here from Eddie and Adam tonight. This is off of their most recent album, Stay With Me. The final song here on the Enter the Shell show, it is their song, Gone. Take a listen.
Actually,
no?
you just flipped it on us?
Oh, damn,
no,
Gina.
We're going to do Watch You Walk Away.
All right.
Which has sort of the same goodbye feel to it, so...
Yeah. Well, we're going to watch you walk away
right
now.
You got to change it up a little bit.
All right, that's okay. I'm flexible.
She is. Looking good.
Thanks, guys, for having us.
Eddie Cohn. EddieCohnMusic.com is where you could find him. And we are out of here.
Later.